us, you go before us. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. You shine in the shadows, you win every battle. Nothing can stand against the power of our God. An almighty fortress, you go before.
God, I thank you. We praise you this morning. Lord, we just come before you and we praise you. God, it's not with voices and instruments, but it's by your power and by your spirit. We're here this morning. We're free. We can gather unafraid and unashamed. And you're so good and you're so worthy. So we just pour out to you this morning, God. We take our most precious things, the oil that we contain, we just pour it out before you, Lord. We give you everything. So we just want to love on you this morning.
Ever be on.
I think sometimes we forget where we came from. And I just want to encourage all of us just to lean into Jesus this morning. Just lean into him. This morning might have been rough for you, might have been wonderful. And that's great, because you can come as you are, because that's how Jesus wants you. He doesn't want you at your shiniest, unless that's how you truly are. You can be at your best or your worst or anything in between, and he loves you. You are his treasure. You are the apple of his eye. So we're going to sing Worthy, and I would just encourage you just to have a quiet moment with the Lord. Just say, thank you. I remember where I was, and I'm not there anymore. And you're pointing me towards yourself, towards heaven, towards everything good and beautiful and bright and wonderful. So we praise you, God. And we just want a taste of heaven here and now, and the quiet and the still and the worship. So however that looks for you, I would just encourage you to chase after the heart of the Lord this morning, because he's worthy. So we're going to sing Worthy.
Thank you. Let's pray together. Lord, worthy is your name. Today we are celebrating your work in our lives, generation to generation. And Lord, you have set the example for us, and you've revealed yourself not as a harsh and distant judge, but as a ever-present and active, loving Father. Lord, you are Father to the fatherless. You seek out the lost, and you choose us and adopt us into your family. Lord, we pray that we can understand your great inheritance for us and your calling for us today. Lord, many of us are parents. We're grandparents. We've watched some of our grandchildren graduate this weekend. And we pray, Lord, for the next things for all of our children and extended family as they move into the next adventure of their lives. And we pray that they go on that adventure with you. Lord, help us today to hear you. Lord, help us today to be encouraged at what you've done in us and what you're passing on from us to others. So Lord, as we take this time together, as we celebrate, as we hear from students, Lord, use this time today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Is everything okay in the audio? I have a little echo. I'm good. Okay. Good morning. My name is Rick Dietzman. I am the associate pastor here at the church, and I'm going to be giving the message today, and I want to tell you a few things that are coming up in the life of the church. The first one that I'm really excited about is our baptism on June 27th. We've got almost 20 people that are going to be baptized. Some are going to be sprinkled at the 10 o'clock service, and some are going to be out at Port Williams, getting really cold. Some of them are youth. Some of them are from our basic beliefs class. And just this is a wonderful thing. We've had some leftovers from last year who are waiting, and what a great thing it is to begin our summer with baptism. If you've thought about baptism and would like to be in on that, I'm going to have an orientation this Thursday night at 5:30. In the other building, and all you need to do is contact the church office, and we'll add you to that group. So think about that. The other thing that's going on is a summer of Rooted. In January of 2020, we ran an all-church Rooted ministry, many of us were part of, and we are going to be doing a sequel to that in January of 2022. It's going to be called Restoring Rhythm. And what we want to do is be able to catch people up who never got to experience the first 10-week Rooted in the next 6 months. So we're starting some groups, some of them formed out of our basic beliefs class. We actually have four groups that are going to be forming in the next few weeks. Some will maybe form in the fall. And if you've never done Rooted, you heard about Rooted, you can look on the Friday email and learn a little bit more about it. But if you'd like to be part of that conversation and getting involved in that the next 6 months, all you need to do again is call the church office or email me, and we'll have that conversation and see if you can be part of that in the next 6 months. Next weekend, grand reopening in the other building. We're doing a soft reopening today, which means there's some painting to do in some of the side areas, but next week it's perfect, and we're going to have at 11, we're going to have a reception. So I want to encourage those who would like to be part of that, especially if you're at home and haven't come in a while and you're used to the 10 o'clock service. Next week is the week to come, in a sense, baptize that new sanctuary, the new painting. Take a look today if you're here today, and it's really wonderful. In your bulletin, those who are here on site and those who are watching, just know we have a lot of different opportunities for volunteers. There's a purple lavender insert, children's ministries, youth ministries, transportation ministry, building and grounds, church office. If you would like to offer your time and talent to that, you can put this in the offering box on the way out of the service, or you can call the church office and they'll fill you in on what there is. Well, as I said, this is graduation weekend. My own daughter graduated as well, and so we've had our family here, and I know a lot of us are excited about that. And we have a video that Keith put together of all the graduating seniors, and they're going to share what they're doing next.
Pasco Community Church, this is Youth Director Keith here. As many of you may know, high school graduation was this weekend, and we had some amazing students graduate. So we're going to have those students share what they're doing next year, and we're also going to hear from some of our leaders about what a positive impact these students have had on our program, and also some encouragement for their future. So without further ado, let's hear from them.
Hi, I'm Dustin Koch. Next year, I'm going to be attending Embry-Riddle in Prescott, Arizona, studying global security and intelligence.
Hey, Dustin. Just want to say congratulations on your upcoming graduation. You did it. Not only did you make it through high school, you did it during a pandemic, which was even more difficult. So good on you there. I wish we would have spent some more time together during youth group. We were just about ready to go to Mexico when we all got shut down, and that would have been awesome. But the time I have spent with you has been great, and I appreciate hanging out with you and get to know you a little better. And I know you've got a great future in front of you, and it's been fun being part of your journey with Christ on your faith walk. And just look forward to hearing from you in the future and seeing all the good things and hearing about all the great things you're going to do moving forward in life. Once again, congratulations, Dustin, and keep in touch as we move forward.
My name is Alicia Parody, and this year I will be taking a gap year to work and save up for college so that in the future I can go to Baylor University in Waco, Texas, and possibly look into becoming an ASL interpreter.
Hey, Alicia. I have had the privilege of being your youth leader since you were in middle school, and now you're graduating high school, and I cannot be more proud of you, the woman you've become, how much you've grown in your faith, and in how much you know of the Bible. You probably know way more than I do, but I'm proud of how much you've pushed yourself, how you've done cheerleading, and you've loved it, and how you are a princess and in the irrigation. And Alicia, I'm really proud of the woman you become, and I know whatever you choose to do next, it'll be wonderful. And I just encourage you to keep listening to God and to see what He has planned for you. And Jeremiah 29:11 is my favorite verse that helps me whenever I don't know what's coming next. Just remember that God has a plan for you, and it's good, and He wants to prosper you and not harm you, and that He has hope and a future in you. And so, Alicia, good luck in your next adventure, and I'm really proud of you.
My plans for next year are to probably get a full-time job, try and get a little bit of overtime so I can get some more money. I'm hoping up to save for a pretty decent and reliable vehicle. And probably, I'm not 100% sure on it, but I probably could do a two-year deal at college just to have a little bit of better education and just have that on my back for future jobs.
Hey, Norm. Congratulations on graduating. Such an exciting time in your life, man. I'm so proud of you. I'm really going to miss you at youth group, Norm. You're a certain part of that youth group that nobody can replace but you, man. And all I have to say for you is just to keep being that guy. Keep being, I like to think of you, Norm, as a wise man. You're good at using your wisdom and thinking your way through things. And I think that there's a special task in life where you're going to get to use that wisdom. And as long as you keep seeking Christ in your life, as wise men do, nothing can go wrong for you, Norm. You're gonna do great in life. You have a special role in this life, and you have a special personality that I especially saw in youth group. And I hope that you have an awesome life ahead, that you have this awesome life because of that personality that you have. And keep being you. Keep being original. Don't change. God made you perfect. And congratulations, man. And I'll be praying for you that you have a great journey in college and in trade school or whatever you choose to do. Congratulations and good job, man.
My name is Maddie Dietzman. After graduation, I will be going to Western Washington University. I'm hoping to study psychology as a major and ultimately become an academic guidance counselor. And I'm also looking into literature and theater studies.
Hi, my name is Jessica Dietzman. I'm the sister of Maddie Dietzman. I'll be speaking about her today. There's a lot of great qualities about Maddie, but the one that really like sticks out to me is the word unbothered. She will just do whatever, doesn't really care what you think. She'll just be 100% herself. If I ask her to do something with me, she'll totally do it, which is just such an awesome quality. Another quality I love about her is her listening ability. She'll listen to me rant about things that she doesn't care about, but she'll still listen and she'll give me advice and she's always just there for me. And Maddie just has a great spirit about her where she just goes with it, does it, and has fun. And I just love that I can talk to her about anything, whether it be religion, just having fun at school, just anything. And she'll be attending Western Washington University with me next year, which is an awesome thing. I get to spend another 4 years with her at college. But I'm just really excited to see what the future holds for her, and I just love her. Love you, Mads.
Wonderful. Man, that's wonderful. And it's a perfect illustration of what I want to talk about today. Because the Bible speaks about how different generations can relate and how the things in our own lives can be passed down to the next. And we're going to begin our time with Christy Godwin, who has a new addition to their family, to Isaac and Christy's family. She's going to be reading our scripture passage from Psalm 78.
Good morning, Squim Community Church. We wanted to introduce you to the newest member of our family, James Ivan Godwin. He was born on Sunday last week. He really wanted to make it to the second service, but he wasn't able to. He was born at 5:30. So we can't wait for you guys to meet him.
Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7, and it says this: O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I am saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will teach the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob, he gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands.
So as that passage talks about passing down what we have seen and heard to the next generation, it reminded me of something that's happening more and more these days. I think a lot of us have been doing a lot of Zoom calls, a lot of FaceTime calls. Many of us are getting out and seeing our extended family. And we wanted to show a drama of what it's like for many of us right now.
Hi, John. It's good to see you.
Hi, guys. What's up?
Well, we're just calling to let you know we're looking forward to going to Julie's graduation.
Oh, great. I know she'll appreciate that. It's really hard for her to see you since you guys live a state away, but I'm sure she'll be really happy with it.
Well, your mother and I were talking about you the other day, and the many things you went through, and just to let you know that we're proud of you, how you've raised Julie. I know that you've given her a firm foundation in Christ, and that's what's important.
Well, I have tried, and I thank you. That really means a lot to me.
We just wanted to let you know we love you and we care about you.
You remember when we were talking about you going away to college? I was expressing my concerns and worries.
Yeah, I remember. I looked you straight in the eye and said, Dad, you need to let me make my own mistakes or I'm not going to learn. I can't imagine the look on your face. Your eyes were so wide. Your eyebrow went up. Always reminded me of Mr. Spock on Star Trek. I thought you were going to have a heart attack.
Yeah, well, I think it's sort of a reflex action. but you really surprised me with it. It's such a mature and wise statement. But I told you I would always be there for you no matter what.
Well, we'd like to share some encouragement with Julie if we can. Would that be all right with you?
Oh, I think that'd be a great idea. I think she'd really enjoy it. It'd mean a lot more coming from both of you rather than just her dad. Just a minute, I'll get her on the line for you. Hey, Julie, can you come here for a minute?
Yeah, I'll be right there.
Your grandparents want to talk to you on Zoom.
Hi, Grandma and Grandpa. I'm so glad to see you. It's been a while. What's up?
Well, we wanted to let you know we're coming to your graduation.
That's awesome. It'll be really great to see you and have you visit.
We are really proud of all your accomplishments. And we love you very much.
Thank you. That means the world to me. And I love you too.
College will be a real eye-opening experience. Your dad shared some wise insight with me his last year of high school. I don't know if he ever told you about it.
Yes, he has. I know that I'm going to make mistakes and that I'm going to need to learn from them or else I won't grow. And my parents are also both going to be there for me.
That's good to hear. Just keep close to God through it all. And he will stay close to you.
Adulting can be hard. And I'm glad you have a strong support group behind you.
Yeah, I get it. And I understand. Thank you both for being there for me.
Well, I guess that's about it for now. We'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks. Love you.
Love you.
We love you. And we love you too, John. It will be nice to see everyone in person.
Love you too. We'll see you later. Bye.
Alrighty. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, that drama definitely hits very close to home for us. We have almost a year and a half. We haven't seen my parents, and they were able to come out this weekend. So, and my daughter, of course, is in the video. So for me, what this moment in time is, especially as we enter the summer, is an opportunity to begin to reunite with our family members and share what God is doing in our lives, what God has entrusted to us in deep and meaningful ways. There's a scripture, Joel 1:3, that says, "Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation." And I think that there is an innate desire in all of us to invest, to pass on things that matter to the next generation. The truth of God's word, the power of his presence, the calling to serve him, all of these are so meaningful to many of us. And we want to find ways to do that in ways that are received by our children, by our grandchildren. Because our highest calling is to those children and to our extended family. I've talked to person after person who have really reassessed that in their own lives in this past year. They see the importance of family. They're Zooming more. The grandparents are connecting with the children. We're doing so much more with each other, even though we were so far apart. I mean, isn't that amazing? And yet, I also hear conversations about a sense of pessimism about the spiritual state of the next generation. There's a desire to pass things on. There's a desire to encourage. But they feel a pushback. And I want to help you today to see some signs of hope, because this is a great opportunity these coming months. There's a great openness these coming months to reunite and to hear from each other and to relate all that has gone on. In 2008, about one-third of millennials, those are people between 25 and 40 years old, were religiously unaffiliated, about one-third of them. And then over the last 10 years, that's grown to over 40%. And so that has caused a sense of concern. And the next generation beyond them is called, now they're calling it Gen Z, which it's been renamed different things over time. It was called the iGen for a while. Now it's Gen Z. It's kids between 6 and 24, which is college age. In fact, my children. And as studies have been done, there's been some very interesting things about the spiritual state, especially of this new generation, the kids that we just saw graduating from high school. In contrast to previous generations, who relied on an institution or an authority figure to understand the world. They're relying on the relationships they have with other people. That's a research project that was done. And what it's saying is there's less trust in institutions like the church, but there's more trust in people that believe in God. There's more of an openness to hear authentic life stories, whereas going to a church service may not be the thing that they do first. In fact, a lot of them, when they live streamed over the course of the year, were quite disappointed, feeling isolated, alone. Someone did a research on that, and they said just 10% of young people said that a faith leader reached out to them personally during the pandemic. A lot of them were alone. Thankfully, in this church, we had a lot of activity. We had a lot of things happening, and that was so important. And these relationships are so important, even as you saw in the video, of older people helping the younger people. And dealing with that mistrust is so important in these coming days, because there has been a downward trend. A Pew survey was done about the spiritual state of each generation, and all the data points, most of the data points point negatively. There's less belief in God. There's less sense of importance of church. There's less frequency of prayer and Bible reading. And church attendance is kind of flat between the millennials and the Gen Z. But there is one upward spiritual trend. And this kind of amazed me when I learned this. The one that is going up, that is increasing, is wonder about the universe. That's the term, wonder about the universe. And it hit me because our scripture today talks about that as an aspect of what God is doing in the world. It says in Psalm 78:4, "We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders." And it struck me, this opportunity, whereas a lot of our children and maybe grandchildren are pulling away from church, they're open to the wonderful stories. They're open to the authentic work of Jesus in our own lives. And this is the moment. This is the opportunity. So I began to study more and more, what is the next generation asking for? And it happened a couple weeks ago, our staff did a virtual conference, one of our staff mornings, about the future of the church, and they had a whole section on the Gen Z and the spiritual state of Gen Z, because that is the future of the church. And I want to play for you a couple of minute segment of some Gen Z leaders talking about what this generation wants and desires.
It's true that there are some that want to be in the church, and there's others that have been really turned off, right? Like, there are some that do not want to step in the doors of a church. Totally. Abby, what have you seen in your community are some of the biggest turnoffs for Gen Z towards the church?
Man, I feel like there's a lot of different things that Gen Z is just like, no, like the church is, like the church equals punishment. Like, I feel like they all, or not all, but so many of them feel like the church is associated with rules and super, super strict rules, and that if you don't follow them, you will be punished. They're just so hungry for independence, and they want to find out who they are and what they want to be in their lives and what they want to do. I think that we really need to harp on the idea that, like, when we do follow Jesus, they don't become rules anymore and they're not restricting. Instead, it offers freedom. And I feel like that's such a hard concept to explain, but it can't be more true. I mean, when we follow Jesus, we find our identity, we find our worth, we find our purpose.
Well, how do we lead in that conversation, right? Do we lead with the bad news or do we lead with the good news, right? And how can we actually usher them from the bad news into the good news and not just leave them in the bad news, right? Like, they do need to understand the bad news, as you said, but how can we lead them to understand you're rescued out of that for freedom? Daniel, you know, you're working with a lot of next gen, but you're also in circles with older leaders as well. What do you wish older leaders knew about Gen Z?
This generation is longing and starving for leadership.
Come on.
Older leadership that will just give them God.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, the Bible says the hearts of the fathers turn back to the children, the children to the fathers. I really believe that this generation needs spiritual fathers and needs spiritual mothers more than they ever do. And I think that a lot of our generation is too afraid and too scared to even vocalize that to the older generation. But me, on behalf of Gen Z, I want to say we need the older generation so bad. We need elders. We need wisdom. We need guidance. There's so many different things, especially in those teenage years that are very transformative years. We need the older generation speaking into us. We need parents to be parents. I mean, I would not be where I am at all without incredible parents. They were tenacious about going about against compromise in my life. They continued to drive me into Jesus-loving communities. We as a generation need the older generation, even whether we know it or not.
Yes. Absolutely. That's so good. I love that. Whether we know it or not.
I tell you, what Daniel said hit me like a lightning bolt, because it started, all of a sudden something made sense to me. We've had a large basic beliefs class that started in April, and we have Gen Z people mixing with 80-year-olds and loving it. This is the first time I've ever seen such a thing in all of these alphas that I've done in the past. And all of a sudden, the moment of opportunity and the open door was there. This generation loves community, participation, and connectedness. And all they want is someone to show them how that life transformation happens, to explain it to them in the way that they can receive that identity in Christ. And there, as Daniel said, there is an openness to learn. This surprised me. I've been, you know, thinking, as a younger generation is being resistant to older people. And yet things have changed. And I think for all of us who are older, who are parents, grandparents, this is a time to press in, to take initiative, and to go for it, especially in the next several months. Never, we says in Scripture, 1 Thessalonians, we never stop thanking God when you receive this message from us. You didn't think of our words as merely human ideas. You accepted what we said is the very word of God, which of course it is. And this word continues to work in you who believe. This is a relational verse. The truth of the Bible is expressed through relationship and through experience, and it continues to work in us. And so just as we conclude here today, I want to give you a few ideas about how to take that initiative. And it starts with character and caring. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about the various attitude of us toward others. And he does it in familial terms. We were like a mother feeding and caring for her own children. We love you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our lives too. So there is a sharing. It talks about being devout and honest and faultless toward all of you. So our lives, how we act, our integrity, the little things we do speak volumes, especially to children and grandchildren. It says, we treated each of you as a father treats his own children, taking special care. And all of these things are what we have in front of us as we take the initiative. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, and urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy, for he called you to share in his kingdom and glory. I want you to think today, how much of that have you passed on? Have we kept these truths from our children? That's what the scripture in Psalm 78 says. It says, don't do that. But how do we do that in a way that's received? That's the hard part. We want to do that, and we want to do it in a way that's received. And Paul, I think, gives us a roadmap for that. He talks about three things. One is pleading. And if you look at the original Greek, it means coming alongside and calling to. It really means picturing a special future, calling people out, calling our children out and saying what we see in them, and desiring that they live lives worthy of God. Encouraging is another one. Encouraging is not confrontive, whereas pleading might be a confrontive. In a sense, calling, though, is a positive thing. Encouraging is that comforting, that coming alongside with soothing speech, because sometimes that's what's needed as a parent or a grandparent, to realize there's been a huge disappointment and to stop and to care. And all of that makes a huge difference in people's lives. And then finally, there's urging. There's testifying, charging, impressing. And I want to give you an insight about this I learned from my own dad. One of the things I remember about my father are moments. There are little things he did, like when we went to the movie theater and we paid the full amount when I was a kid. Or that time when he showed me something and gave me instruction on how to build something with wood. There are these different memories I have of him. And then with my mom, I remember all of those constant things that she did for me and for my siblings. There's a difference, though. One is more constant. One is about events. And all of these things impress. So make impressions. Use the time that we have to make impressions with kids, grandkids, extended family. Because you'll see that these kids, these kids in their 20s, these young adults, have a great future and a great openness. So I close with Deuteronomy. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road and when you get up and when you're going to bed. Teach these things and use the moments we have, the providentially provided moments we have, to teach. That's my message for you today. That's my one encouragement for you today, is to look at what is ahead, to not be discouraged, to think, what is it that God has for me to impact the next generation, and what is the gift he's given me to share? Each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands. And each of us are a very, very integral part of that. So let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this reminder from your word, this encouragement that you are present and active in and through us, and that you are speaking by your Holy Spirit to our children and grandchildren, whatever their contexts are. And so, Lord, as we consider this charge we've been given, this call we've been given, may those connections be made in the days ahead. May we do more Zoom calls. May we do more visits. And when we visit, may we ask more questions, tell more stories, and relate in ways that show our love and our integrity and your spirit at work in our lives. Lord, you have done a great thing. You have ordained that the generations would know you, that we would know your glory, that we would know your wonders, and we would know what you have for us to do. So thank you again, in Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand as we sing Amazing Grace.
Amazing. that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, my chains are gone, I've been saved.
Thinking of a few applications for today. Maybe it's time to make a phone call or to learn how to do Zoom. Maybe it's time to make a visit, to plan a visit. If you're a young person, maybe it's a time to reach out. Or maybe it's a time to volunteer. You know, we have these opportunities in our church with young people. Maybe this is the time to step up and invest right here, right now. So whatever it is, do something different today. And God bless you. Amen.